I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught. Find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle. And then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you today, Aaliyah?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Very good. How is the MTC teaching going for you?
It's going awesome. I just started teaching in a district, and they're all elders, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, all elders. That's fun.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
What's it like to send a district out? How do you feel about that?
Sad, but also excited for them to go and do the work and, you know, just get out of the MTC.
Yeah, right. Go on and be out in the field. So
mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, good today. I also have with me today Rivka. How are you, Rivka?
I'm doing really well.
Good. And you're in a very scenic locale today, aren't you?
I am sitting in the parking lot of the Idaho Falls Temple. So I'm just looking at the temple in my car and the green belt. If anyone's in the Idaho Falls, it's the Snake River goes right by the temple. So it is pretty scenic.
Awesome. It's a beautiful temple. I think I haven't been there in a long, long time, but they used to have, I think you used to go room to room there, and they had the murals and everything.
Yeah.
Sort of like a mix between the old and the new.
They do. Yeah. It's got the different rooms and beautiful murals. And when they renovated it, five or six years ago, there was kind of an arm wrestle about that because they were going to come in and change it. And there were enough people and like, even like the temple presidency and stuff were like, probably you should not get rid of these murals. They, you know, they've been here for a while. So instead, they hauled in some art restorers and restored everything beautifully. Yeah.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
If anyone gets a chance to go through, it's a lovely temple to do an endowment session in.
Beautiful. I love it.
And it's the temple that Brooke and I were sealed in. So, you know.
Hey, even better. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, speaking of Burke, he may have fallen asleep since the 2 minutes that I've not talked to him, in the 2 minutes since I've talked to him, but here he is today. It's Burke.
Yeah, just here and excited. Just got home about an hour ago from a 30-some-odd-hour experience driving some friends in a relay race that went from Mount Hood to the coast of Oregon, and really good times, but since I was the one driving, mostly I was awake, except for about maybe 2 hours since yesterday. So, yeah. If what I say doesn't make sense, my heart means well.
We're going to test the idea today of whether sleep deprivation makes the veil thinner or thicker. So we'll see.
I'll tell you, generally, it makes me more emotional. So I'm just going to try to skirt any subjects that are close to my heart.
Good. Awesome. Well, let's get started on the talk then. It's called Abide in Me and I in You, Therefore Walk with Me by Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And we'll start with Aaliyah. What was your fundamental doctrine from this talk, Aaliyah?
I really like a statement he said at the end. He says, walking in and with the Savior highlights two vital aspects of discipleship, obeying God's commandments and remembering and honoring the sacred covenants that connect us to the Father and the Son. And I like that breakdown of, he talks a lot in this talk about what it means to abide, but this is kind of a simpler, almost like a summary of discipleship, which is obedience and honoring covenants. And so I thought that was really cool.
Awesome. Two things struck me about that when I read it, Aaliyah. So number one, so many of these conference talks, they start with some scripture or, you know, other reference, and they go on to explain it. And this one is talking about abiding in the Savior and the Savior abiding in us. And the explanations are all they all end up at the same final point, which is obey the Lord and keep the covenants you've made.
Yep.
So that's always fun. You know, it always comes back to the fundamentals. There's no like secret grand thing out there that we're waiting for. And then the other earth question I had, and Aaliyah, I'm going to have you enlighten us here. What's the difference between obeying God's commandments and honoring our covenants?
Well, I was actually going to say there isn't like a huge distinction in my mind, because one of the covenants we make is obedience. Mm-hmm. But it's like a weird cycle, because one of the covenants we make is obedience, but we have to obey the covenants. So it's like they're both intertwined and connected and essential. And you can't keep the covenants without obeying, and you can't obey without keeping covenants.
Right. Yeah, it sounded almost like close to the same thing when I read it. I mean, I know he numbered it as number one and number two, but I was like, really? They're both the same? But with only like minor subtle differences in my mind. So keep the commandments, keep your covenants, sort of two sides of the same coin. Rivka, do you have any other differences between obeying God's commandments and honoring our covenants?
Not really. I mean, but you can obey God's commandments before you make covenants. So maybe just that, like, as you make covenants, right, to keep them, it's just, it's a, like a next level of obedience, I guess.
I like that. And so part of it was probably just for emphasis, right? The repetition was for emphasis. So,
yeah.
Well, good. Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine then?
There were a lot in here that I...
Indeed.
I mean, not a lot of, there were just a lot of ways that he said things that were so good. So.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know, should I leave Burke the questions? Are you doing questions, Burke? How about this one?
I was just going to say, he's going to do the fundamental question.
I don't have to, but I definitely marked some.
Okay, I will not do that. How about this one? He begins the talk with discussing the ancient prophet Enoch and his call to be a servant of the Lord. And he was really young. I think, like, generally scholars think he was around 25 years old. And he says he was slow of speech, you know, whatever that means. I don't know, probably, like, unprepared and not ready. And then he says... But the Lord says to him, behold, my spirit is upon you, wherefore all thy words I will justify, and the mountains shall flee before you, and the rivers shall turn from their course, and thou shalt abide in me, and I in you. Therefore, walk with me. And then this paragraph right after is the one. It says, Enoch ultimately became a mighty prophet and a tool in God's hands to accomplish a great work, but he did not start his ministry that way. Rather, his capacity over time was magnified as he learned to abide in and walk with the Son of God. And I appreciated that encouragement that Enoch was not a finished product when he was called to serve the Lord and to become a prophet and build up this city of Zion, and that the Lord made him fit for the role, for the job that he was asking him to do. And so that same pattern goes with us.
Awesome. I love it. Aaliyah, did you have something to add to that?
I do. So I have a story to give an example here.
Okay, let's hear it.
So my job for about 3 years was running a small cookie business. And I like, it was me, my family helped, but I wasn't working for anyone. And when I started, my capacity of work, like how much work I could do, how many cookies I could make, was considerably lower than when I ended, like exponentially. And so the story of Enoch here, it just, like, if I were to have waited until I thought that I could handle what I ended up as my full capacity at the end of the 3 years, it never would have come. It would have been impossible, because I grew with the business. And I think that follows a divine pattern. I feel like God usually gives us just a little more than we can handle. And then we grow, our capacity grows as the work grows and we're able to take on more and more. And then we can do more of the work, and God is helping us become more as well as helping the work become more. So yeah. that's my little example.
Awesome. I love it. We loved watching you grow in that. And, you know, when you first started, if you got 5 boxes or 7 boxes ordered, you would be sort of a busy night. You know, sometimes you'd hit 9 or 10 and it would be really stressful. And by the end, you were just like cranking 40, 45 boxes like it was nothing. It was pretty fun to watch. So Lord definitely increased your capacity as you applied yourself there.
Yep.
Rivka, as I'm going to go back just a little bit from your fundamental doctrine, a couple paragraphs, and just to really hammer the point home, Elder Bednar says, please notice that at the time of Enoch's call to serve, he became acutely aware of his personal inadequacies and limitations. Have you ever felt that in a calling, Rivka?
Like almost every calling I've ever been given, I have felt that. Why?
It's almost a trick question, right?
I know. You're like, oh, this was got. It's either a joke or a mistake, like depending on how well I know the thing. But because immediately you're handed this responsibility and you're like, how do I even go about doing this? Sometimes even with the, now you need to like call counselors. That is sometimes one of the scariest parts of it, because it's just like, I don't, you know, because the knee-jerk reaction is, I've got to do this. I've got to, like, I have to take on all this burden. And maybe at some point I'll get my knee-jerk reaction to be like, okay, Heavenly Father, tell me what you want me to do. Instead of me trying to be like,
right.
I will cover all my bases. And then what I don't get, I'll let you fill in. That's just not really the way to feel about it. But, you know. Yeah, I mean, I think any calling can relate to Enoch here. When he's like, let me give you a list of all the reasons this is the worst idea. You know, God's like, actually, I know better. And then we're like, oh, that's true. Okay.
Indeed. And I loved the Lord's response to this. I think as a counterpoint to the way we do it now, which is, you know, they teach you like, well, you should always validate and reflect and have empathy. And the Lord, of course, has the ultimate empathy and sympathy, but he didn't do any of these things. His answer was, you know, go forth. You know, it wasn't like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Let's take a moment and sit with it. He's like, no, go forth. Just walk with me and it'll be okay. So he, you know, it's just reassuring to hear that. Like, yeah, just go for it. You just make your first box of cookies, try to extend your first calling or whatever the case may be. And, you know, the Lord will help you along the way. So I love it. All right. Now we come to Burke. Burke, has there been a time where you felt inadequate when you were called to something, but then as you received help from the Lord, you felt your capacity magnified?
Well, I'm going to answer a slightly different question, and
please
that is,
have I want I you ever, to answer whatever question you wish that I had asked.
Have I ever felt inadequate when I've listened to an Elder Bednar talk? And the answer is yes, I have. So when he says, I suspect all of us at one time or another in our church service have felt much like Enoch, I was like, yes, I have internalized many of your words. And
oh, my goodness. That is the funniest thing ever. And I kind of hope Elder Bednar never listens to this.
No, but this is important things. And to get closer to answering the question, he said calling. The interesting thing to me is, and I agree with everything that Rivka said about callings and limitations. Absolutely. I have felt those things. But this statement you read that comes after, he says, go forth and do as I have commanded thee, and no man shall pierce thee. When I read this, I actually, felt like so many things in my life that God specifically called me to do that were not church callings, this blessing still happens. Like for me in my professional life, I feel like this is very relevant. He said, this is what I want you to do with your life. Here's how I want you to get there. And then success came not in the ways that I expected, but I think in the ways that he wanted me to experience it and ways that I couldn't have done things myself. Looking back, I was like, that wasn't me. That was a blessing from heaven. So when he says, no man shall pierce thee, he's saying, when you do what I ask you to do, then you get my power, you get my help to do that. So
beautiful. I love it. Doesn't just apply to church callings. Fantastic. Well, how about your fundamental doctrine or question? What did you find here?
So I did mark that same one where he became acutely aware of his personal inadequacies and limitations, but I coupled with it a question from later where he says, the Savior's promise to his followers is twofold. If we abide in him, he will abide in us. But is it indeed possible for Christ to abide in you and me individually and personally?
Well,
he says it's a resounding yes, but
right.
Sometimes I doubt.
Sometimes you doubt that it's a resounding yes. Well, how do we know if that's happening? If we're wondering, if we're doubting whether we're abiding with the Savior and him and him with us, how do we know?
Well, there's some more questions you can ask.
Let's hear them.
My beloved brothers and sisters, is the word in us? Are the truths of the Savior's gospel written in the fleshy tables of our hearts? Are we coming unto and gradually becoming more like him? Is the tree of Christ growing in us? Are we striving to become new creatures in him?
I love it. That was actually the paragraph that you just read, what I thought you would give as your fundamental doctrine question. So
yeah,
I'm glad we got there.
Yeah, we did.
And this is a great thing to review when we take the sacrament each week, right? These sort of Alma-esque questions. You know, where are we at spiritually? Where are we at in our hearts? Where are we at with obedience? And when people ask, have I been forgiven of a sin? This is another, you know, that I think that set of questions can also apply. Like, are you feeling the Spirit? Is your heart being changed? I mean, those are the measures we use to know if we are being born of God anew each week. Yeah. So,
well, and I like how he asked, the first two questions are kind of absolute, like, do you have the word? Do you have the truths written in your heart? And he's like, and you might be like, well, maybe some, not all of it. I could do better. And he says, are we coming unto and gradually becoming? Is the tree of Christ growing? So these are getting there. So he's like, all those things are okay. Just wrap it all up in a ball of getting a little better each day. Or as we would say in the Cradle series, improve yourself.
Improve yourself. I love it. Awesome. Very good. Well, Aaliyah, anything to add to either of those thoughts?
I don't think so. Summed it up pretty well.
Okay, well then let's go on to other parts of the talk. And I think it was you who said he was going to tell us what abiding means, and we've referred to abiding a lot already. So how does he define that?
He gives like paragraph lists. I don't know. I'll just say he starts a lot of paragraphs with the words, we abide in Christ, dot, dot, dot. So I can list them. We abide in Christ as we are firm and steadfast in our devotion. We abide in the Lord by exercising our moral agency. We abide in him by striving continually to strengthen our individual covenant bond with him. We abide in him by truly feasting upon the words of Christ. We abide in him by preparing earnestly to participate in the sacrament. And we abide in him by serving God as we serve his children.
Awesome.
So,
the only thing that would have made that better is if you'd numbered that list, you know, that would have made it more pleasing at Tarifka's ear.
I've clearly not had enough of an influence. I'll send you some pens.
And I pictured check boxes, but as I went down the list, I could only do like fractions of a check in each one.
I love it. Well, Aaliyah, which one of these has helped you feel like you were abiding in the Savior the most?
I think it's probably a tie between feasting upon the words of Christ and being steadfast in our devotion in good and bad times. I think they're kind of related, I guess, but during good times, just remembering to turn to him and be grateful, and in bad times, remembering to turn to him and be grateful. And that has just helped me to feel like he's a constant presence instead of just like something, I don't know, inconsistent. So I think that helps me to abide. And then part of the way that I do that turning to him is through reading the scriptures daily, and seeking for knowledge in them, even if I don't have any like burning questions or doubts or you know, deep life circumstances that I'm looking for comfort from. I still am trying my best to seek and feast on the word.
I love it. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And in case those didn't inspire you, at the end of that section, he says, I now invite each of us as his disciples to ask, seek, knock, and learn for ourselves by the power of the Holy Ghost, other meaningful ways we can make Christ the center of our lives in all that we do. So if those specific things didn't speak to you, he says, well, just ask the Lord and the Lord will tell you. Rivka, I want to go back to the top of that section because he actually defines abiding. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that that would speak to you, and I'd be interested to hear, you know, have you tell us what his definition was and how you interpret that and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, he says the word abide denotes remaining fixed or stable and enduring without yielding. And then he gives Jeffrey R. Holland's explanation that abiding is an action that means to stay, but to stay forever. Come unto Christ, but come to remain. Come with conviction, endurance, come permanently. And as I was reading that, I was thinking about our discussion several talks ago about hold fast and holding fast, and that sort of naval image of hanging on to something so you do not get swept overboard in the storm. And as I was pondering that imagery this week, I was kind of grateful for it, because that's sort of a hold fast when you're clinging on and there's a storm going on and you're just trying to keep yourself stable and grounded. That's, it doesn't look pretty, you know, when stuff is storming around. And a lot of the time, living the gospel doesn't look pretty. And I think we tend to criticize ourselves for that. If it doesn't look the way we think it should, or it's not, I don't know, like if our living the gospel isn't the equivalent of perfect Sunday dross, then we feel like we're not living the gospel right or enough. But if we are holding on, if we've made covenants and we've bound ourselves to him and we're holding on with those covenants, then however it looks or however we're knocked around or bounced around, as long as we are hanging on to that, that's what we need. It doesn't have to look pretty.
I love it. When you first talked about that hold fast, I imagined in my head, you know, like somebody hanging onto the railing of a ship and like majestically meeting a giant wave without budging. But then as you described it, I had the image of like somebody clinging for dear life, being flopped around on the deck, you know, just hoping not to fall off.
But doesn't it feel like living the gospel is like that sometimes? Like,
it does.
Like, hold on, flopping around and just clinging to those covenants.
Indeed. And sometimes that's all we can do, right? Is just hold on for dear life and fight through the storm. So I love it.
It's like the Spirit is saying, you did such a great job. And you're like, all I did was just not get swept overboard. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, I know. That's what the great job was.
Yeah. Great job. Exactly. Oh, fantastic. That hold fast talk was also Bednar, wasn't it?
Was it from what? Yeah. You know what? I think it might have been.
I mean, it's been, that was a couple conferences ago. I'm pretty sure that was also Bednar, but we'll have to look that up at some point to confirm. But maybe he just really loves that idea of just, you know, holding fast and abiding.
So. I looked it up. It is Elder Bednar.
Yeah, I was just looking at the same thing. Yeah.
Holding fast.
So cool. Well, Burke, did you have any other quotes you wanted to point out here from this talk?
Hang on here. Let's see.
I probably asked you while you were looking at the old talks. So
you totally did.
You could bring in a quote from that one too.
I really like just, let's see, this is a scripture. This is from Alma 33:23, and he quotes just part of it. Or I'm going to quote just part of it. It says, and then may God grant unto you that your burdens may be light through the joy of his son. And even all this can you do if you will. I just love that is the blessing for holding on for dear life, as religious. Eventually, yeah. The burdens get lightened and you experience the joy. And it's interesting for me that when, how do I say this exactly? That when I'm making my attempts to abide, well, this is why I was thinking about it, because as you were talking to Rivka, I was looking at these things he asked. And one of the things is where he says, preparing earnestly to participate in the ordinance of the sacrament. And I love that that's in there. And I also struggle with the fact that that's in there, because I feel like this is one of those things I intend to do amazing at every mm-hmm. single week. And there's so many times in the gospel when I do something intentionally hoping to get this wonderful spiritual immediate blessing. And I do the thing and I'm like, good, you did it. And the blessing comes some other time later in what mm-hmm. appears to be a non-connected fashion.
Yeah.
And so as I was thinking about that, I just love that he says the blessing does come. And Elder Holland would say, yes, it will come eventually. But yeah, I don't know. I guess that.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I like it. And it appears unconnected to our mortal eye, but in the heavenly realms, all things are connected like that, right?
Well, and that what's necessary for it is your willingness to do it. Even all this can ye do if ye will. It's like, if you want to, then you can work at it and you can get it.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Well, I just say you can get it. You can be blessed with it despite right. everything you can or can't do. So.
Right. Awesome. Well, that was sort of a promise that you just referred to. So let's keep going with invitations and promises, and we'll go down to Aaliyah. Any other invitations and promises you found here?
Yes. He says, I testify that as we press forward in faith and walk in the meekness of the Lord's Spirit, so that's the invitation, we are blessed with power, guidance, protection, and peace.
Okay. Have you had an example of that in your life, or you've been blessed with one of those things?
I've been blessed with all of them most of my life, all of my life. It's hard to pinpoint. I can think of some times on my mission where I was specifically blessed with physical protection, kind of in the form of guidance, honestly, just like about to walk into a dangerous situation and the Spirit says no, and so you walk away, like that kind of thing. But yeah, I've received a ton of guidance over the years about just like all the things, little things, big things, decisions. So yeah.
Great. That one, you know, promise there reminds me of extending callings, just praying for them. And you know, that very common feeling of like, is this from the Lord or is this my idea? But accepting that I sometimes just had to press forward with faith that it was the, you know, the Lord. And then the thought of meekness, which is another Bednar talk, actually, you know, just seeking counsel from others and from the Lord and not always from myself. And being blessed with guidance so many times to extend callings that were the Lord's will and that blessed the person who was called and blessed the people who they served. So I think there are many, many examples of that as I extended callings in the past. So that's what came to my mind. Rivka, how about you? Any other promises and invitations here?
Yeah, the invitation... He quotes from the Savior, come unto me and you shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, you shall eat and drink of the bread of waters of life freely. I mean, that is an invitation and a blessing all wrapped up in one. But right. Come unto me. And then Elder Bender says, I emphasize the absolute comprehensiveness of the Savior's plea. He yearns to bless us with grace and mercy. Every single person who now lives, who has ever lived, and who will yet live upon earth. Some church members accept as true doctrine, principles, and testimonies proclaimed repeatedly from the pulpit in the Conference Center and in local congregations around the world, and yet may struggle to believe these eternal truths apply specifically in their lives and to their circumstances. And so this is then he says they believe sincerely and serve dutifully, but their covenant connection with the Father and his redeeming Son has not yet become a living and transforming reality in their lives. And then this is a blessing that he gives that I love. I promise that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you can know and feel the gospel truths I have attempted to describe are for you. for you individually and personally. So if you come into Christ and you work to allow, as he says, your covenant connection to become living. And maybe I don't know all the answers about what that actually means, except, you know, you can go to the Lord with that, but it becomes living and transforming in your life. And he promises that that is available to us. And I always love it when apostles and prophets give us promises like that.
Yeah. I loved that promise so much, Rivka, when I read it. Just such a beautiful idea there that, you know, so many promises we read about are ones that we heard in here too, you know, guidance, all these things that are super important, but what a like personal individual promise that you can know and feel the gospel truths he has taught are for you and for you individually and personally, or as he stated, you know, in that other sense, that they become living and transforming reality in your life. What an incredible promise. And I think all of us have felt that, but we all need to continue to feel that on a regular weekly basis, you know, and what a beautiful, powerful promise to extend. I loved it. All right, Burke, any last invitations or promises?
Right. As he's wrapping up the talk here, he says, as we walk in and with him, which I believe is the invitation, and he says, we will be blessed to bring forth much fruit. And I was thinking about this because it would seem like we always think about bringing forth much fruit as like bringing people to the gospel. And when you think about Alma getting called on the carpet by his missionary brethren saying, we think you're boasting. And he's like, no, I'm not bragging about what I've done. I'm bragging about what God has done. And I think part of the blessing of this is seeing the fruit, seeing the changes in yourself, seeing the changes in others, recognizing that God is doing things in your life rather than just recognizing all the things you haven't yet accomplished.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, Burke. In the context of the talk where he spent an extended amount of time talking about planting the seed of faith and the tree growing, I think that's what he's talking about, is seeing that fruit in your own soul, in your own heart. Yeah. Fantastic. I love it. So beautiful, personal, dare I say, even tender promises from Elder Bednar. So what was your Bednar index on this talk here today, Burke?
You know, I just still feel beat up about the sacrament thing, but I'm trying not to discover it on it. So actually, as Bednar talks go, I'm going to rate this one like a 3.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Good.
I don't feel nearly as inadequate as usual.
Indeed. I felt the same thing. It was a very encouraging talk. So awesome. Well, the next talk we're going to discuss is President Nelson's closing remarks. The answer is always Jesus Christ. In the meantime, Aliyah is going to tell you how you can get a hold of us.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message us on Instagram or Facebook at wordsoftheprophetspodcast.
Indeed, you can, as Betty did this week. And thank you so much for your email, Betty. It was beautiful and uplifting, and we loved it. So thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.